4, 6 years old, they were still talking about the First World War and the horrors of it and the mustard gas and everything else. So I had a pretty good dose of that. And after World War I, I began to be old enough to understand what they were talking about. And it was as though I had lived through that, even though I didn't. But I was made to go to church every Sunday and Wednesday night and Sunday night. And during the course of that time, I heard a lot of messages, and I had to go to Sunday school class. I heard a lot of messages about the Antichrist, and all the different things that were about to happen, and how Hitler was the Antichrist, how Tojo was the Antichrist. And then I was told that the Kaiser was thought to be the Antichrist, and before him, Napoleon. But even as a young man in his teens, the Bible was clear to me that Israel had to be regathered. Well, after World War I, along came the Balfour Resolution. And finally, in the early 30s, they began to flood in there in ships, small boats, anything that would float on an ocean. And the Palestinians, they didn't like it at all. And pretty soon, there are a large number of Jews that have built a little small colony there, whether the Palestinians liked it or not. So my parents and my grandparents and the people at church were always worried about war. They were always afraid this one was the Antichrist, that one was the Antichrist, that one was the Antichrist, that was the Antichrist, that was the Antichrist. But even though I was a child, I knew that it wouldn't start until you got a man over there that was the Antichrist, and you just didn't have all the nation of Israel back there, and they had to be regathered. It may interest you to know that up until the time of Napoleon, nobody ever thought that the Jews would go back. They didn't believe it. That's a fact. So I was just a child, and I looked at it as a child, and I never argued with my elders, and I listened to all the preachers, and my grandparents would get me if they saw me dozing. So I've been waiting for a long, long time. When they were gathered back in 1948, I said, okay, that's it. By that time, they had a whole slew of them back. And in 1948, they became a nation. I said, okay, now they're in place. But this is something that I had believed all my life. They had to be in place. Well, they were in place. So I wondered, what's going to happen next? Well, after 1948, they had a war. In 1948, actually, and all of a sudden, they became a nation. And the Palestinians hated it. And in 1967, they got together and they had a whale of a war. And the Jews completely defeated the coalition of Arab states that went along. And I watched it. I was in the military at that time. And then I really began to intensely look at what I had been taught when I was a child. I'd been taught a lot of things. So I went back, even as a young man, and I began to study what the preachers taught before the evangelical movement. See, the evangelical movement is looked upon as the great awakening of Christianity. Then after that, there followed the great awakening. I was young. I didn't know much. But something was wrong because they weren't teaching what they taught me when I was young. And I guess we were looked upon as being backwards. We only use the King James translation. I'm not saying you can't use any other translation. But they said, we've got this, we'll teach, and we'll preach this. So this is Northern Arkansas. So when I went to the seminary, I said, I want to know exactly what the original words mean and taught. And that's why I went there. And I got a pretty big dose of it. And by the time I was finished, I said, that evangelical movement and that great awakening has damaged the cause of God to a great extent. I know that's true because I went back and researched and researched, and God wanted me to go back. Because I didn't want to go back. I could have just gone along and given them some milk and honey and 3 points in a poem, a cloud of dust, and told them a few little jokes along the way, and I would have been as popular as anybody else in the ABA. But God would not let me do that. And I'm very thankful to Him that He didn't. I can't take any credit for it. So what am I trying to say? And I'm going to tell you something right now, and I want you to know that everything is in place. For the first time in my life, I know exactly what's happening over there. Why do I know? Because it fits God's Word. That's why. There are only 1,335 days of Daniel's 70 weeks of years that are left to occur. That's all we've got. And the question is, when's it going to start? I don't want to give you an honest answer because I don't have one. But I'll guarantee you it's a lot closer than most people think. The last 1,335 days of Daniel's 70 works of years will soon begin. And I've been trying to show you that. And if you remember that thing that I showed you, Greater Syria, and you remember that black horse's neck, looked just like a big horse's neck, went all the way back down here. Did you notice the outer border of it that was in white was the maximum extension of Greater Syria? Do you know it included Iran, what was known as Elam? And do you know that right now Elam, which is known as Persia, is building a bridge across Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon? And do you know that no matter what they decide they're going to do about extending this for a 10-year period and then let them have what they have, I don't care if they do that, if they reject it or whatever, this thing's coming down. And it's so obvious that I have to tell you that I'm certain of it. Now, I'll have to answer to the Lord if I've misled you. And believe me, I don't look forward to being rebuked at the judgment seat of Christ, but I'm telling you, this thing is on our very doorstep. Following end time events are fulfilled during the 1,335 days. Here we go. A fulfillment of the last 1,335 days of Daniel's 70 weeks of years will begin during the next administration when the greater Syria Antichrist, Gog, who is the king of the north, attacks Israel as the chapter 11 king of the north and drives one-third of the Jews into the Negev wilderness for some 1,260 days. Listen, that is happening, shaping up over there right now. And ISIS is going to be scattered. I put that out over a month ago, 2 months ago. I told you they'd be scattered. I told you they'd be beaten down. But once they defeat them, they can't wipe them out completely. But they will have set a bridge all the way across from Lebanon to Syria through Iraq and right on down into Elam, which is Persia, which was part of the greater Syria Empire. Now, I don't know what else God has to do to get my attention, but that's what He's gotten my attention. Because this stuff is doing exactly as the Bible said. People said I was crazy when I told them that the king of the north, the Daniel 11, plus the great Antichrist, are all one and the same as Paul's man of sin and the wicked. It's in place. Never been in place before. Never lined up like this before. Not in the history of the Middle East. But it's there now. And all that it's waiting is for God to say, attack. And when Israel attacks them from the south, the king of the south, the Antichrist is going to have a brilliant counterattack plan, and he's going to come roaring down both sides of the mountain range, east and west. He's going to blow south down both sides, and he's going to drive Israel into the Negev wilderness. The king of the north and Daniel, plus the great Antichrist, are all one and the same as Paul's man of sin and the wicked. Darnell Missionary Baptist Church began to issue prophecy updates some 15 years ago, and during that time, I have been consistent in the chronological sequence of events I believe will begin when Israel attacks across her northern border. I will then follow the sequences 1 to 5, and here they are. They are found repeatedly in hundreds of prophecy archive updates and blogs we have issued since the last century and are as follows. Here we go. This is going to happen in the next administration. You say, well, you may have two. I don't know that. All I know is the next administration, and I mean what I say. Obama is desperately trying right now to find some way to end his legacy where he will not have had a war during his time period, and that is precisely why they are wanting to negotiate with Iran. He wants to have the assurance that they won't do it during his administration. So he wants to have this 10-year period where they'll promise they won't do anything and will allow their facilities to be visited, etc., etc., etc. And this will get him out of office, and it will get the next administration in. And sometimes during that next administration, you're going to have the Antichrist, who will be an Assyrian Antichrist, who will be Gog, who will be the king of the north, who will be all these things rolled up in one. And then all Hades is going to break loose in the Middle East. We've got time. And that's one reason I'm pushing this so hard. We've got time. And there are a lot of people outside these walls that are saved, didn't want to pay the price for what it takes to be a Christian, and just drifted away. Listen, this is not a child's game. And the truth of the matter is, this is going to happen, and it's going to happen during the next administration. Antichrist will attack Israel in response to her attack. He will lead 10 Arab nations in a pre-planned lightning counterattack jihad from the north out of Syria and Lebanon. 2/3 of the Israeli population will perish in the attack. Jerusalem will fall to the Arab nations. The Arab nations will take the land from Dan to Beersheba. That's the only good part of Israel. But Israel has done a lot of work on the southern part, south of Beersheba, to where they're getting some pretty good stuff down there. And it's the most heavily fortified zone on the surface of God's earth as far as a defensive unit is concerned. The Arab nations will take the land from Dan to Beersheba. 1/3 of Israel will flee into the Negev wilderness, where it will remain under a hudna, a truce, until trumpet 7 sounds. And when trumpet 7 sounds, we're going up. When it sounds, we go up. We will not be here when the wrath of God is poured out. I do not believe it is possible for us to be here, because God clearly indicated he would not let his wrath fall on us. And it will not. Now, number one, 1 Thessalonians 5:3-4, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, to prevail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. That's number one. Number two, Zechariah 13:8, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and the third shall be left therein. See Archive Prophecy Update 93. That's that thing you've got 5 million copies of it. And then Zechariah 14:1-2. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, and Jerusalem is in the midst of Israel. For I will gather all nations against Israel to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the remnant ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And that cut off from the city is a word that means they will be allowed to go back. They will not be eternally cut off from the city, which is exactly what will happen according to God's word. Now, number 4 and 5, Revelation 12:6. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. When did God first plan this? Before the foundation of the world. God planned this before the foundation of the world. It was all prepared. And he told us that this was it. This was the gospel. And so all those people that believed from Adam and Eve to the very end, they're all going to heaven. And this is talking about the woman, Israel, fleeing into the wilderness. And it was in God's mind to prepare a place for her before the foundation of the world, that they should feed her 1,260 days. And it's going to be fulfilled because God said it would be fulfilled. Since I hold to the prophetic interpretation, all the publications prior to 1740 put forth concerning the he in Daniel 9:27, I am concerned that a lot of believers are going to be in shock when all this suddenly begins to occur without a long, prolonged period of an Antichrist uprising in Europe. They still believe that. Without a written peace treaty that lasts 3.5 years and a lot of other prophetic interpretations by TV prophetic evangelists that give the impression we have a long time before all this begins to happen. No, we don't. It's going to happen after Obama gets out of office, and it's going to occur before the end of the next administration. You say, well, you're stating that like you just like it's a gimme. To me, it is. But I will say this in all honesty. I could be wrong. But I'm interpreting the word of God. I'm telling you and giving you scriptures to what it says. I am concerned about this to the extent that I'm going to repeat what I believe about Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks of years. I hope you will consider it. Even if you don't believe it, and I put this out on the internet, if it is correct, then it would be beneficial to you when it happened. You've been taught this here in this church, and you know what the teaching is, and you're continuing to be taught it, and you're also continuing to be taught what God wants to do with you, how God wants to work in you. And the preachers in this church are dedicated to teaching you what God says, you need to do this. And if there ever was a time in history, you need to start really thinking about this and getting consistent in what you believe and preparing for it. Even though it's frightful, it shouldn't be frightful, because God first loved you, and God takes care of you, and he watches over you. The 70 weeks of Daniel's 9:24-27, God revealed to Daniel that Jeremiah's prophecy of 7 years of captivity, which would accomplish the desolation of Israel, had a secondary interpretation involving a much longer period of time. Daniel 9:1-2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Assyrius, of the seed of the Medes. And do you know that the seed of... do you know that Elam extended over to the Medes all the way across what we know today as Iran? And that's interesting. In the first year of Darius, the son of Assyrius, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, Daniel understood by books the number of the years, whereof 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then, from 924 through 927, Daniel unveils the events of a lengthy time period that would affect Israel and the holy city of Jerusalem for 490 years. He did not say it would be continuous. He did not infer it would be continuous. He did not say one way or the other. But the scripture indicates that it was not going to be continuous. And Daniel's prophecy pretty well laid that out. So 7 times 70 years is 490 years. He understands each year of Jeremiah's prophecy to be equal to 7 years and identifies each period of 7 years as 1 week. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks of years are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Didn't say they were continuous. Some people think they are continuous. Well, I suppose they could be, but this fits the Bible so perfectly, I don't believe that they're continuous. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision, and to anoint the most holy. Most of that's already been fulfilled. But we've still got some things to be fulfilled. And all of a sudden, they're going to start being fulfilled when the Antichrist attacks Israel. The first 1,185 days were fulfilled by Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. The last 1,335 days are going to be fulfilled during the time that we are awaiting him to return at the very end of the tribulation period to rule and reign for 1,000 years and then forever. The contextual subject of this entire discourse involves the activity of the Messiah, the Prince, Jesus Christ, up to the time of his cutting off in the midst of the last week. Jesus was cut off in the midst of the last week. We know it was less than 3 years. We know that he was cut off less than 3 years after he began his ministry. We know that. So that leaves 1,335 days. We're not absolutely positive of the 1,185, but it was less than 3 years and not 3.5 years. And the events which will again involve him as the last part of the week is set in motion when Daniel's clock begins to tick again. When they crucified him, he was cut off in the midst of the week. That's what it says. That's what it means. It's talking about him. All of the verses from Daniel 9:24 through 9:27 are talking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. No exceptions. And I'm not afraid to say that, because it's true. The holy city will again be overrun from the north by the troops of the Antichrist, as it was by Titus in AD 70. I have never found any pre-1740 commentary on the Bible that identified the he of Daniel 9:27 as the Antichrist. Never. You would not believe how hard and diligently I've searched for it. It does not exist. They were all unanimous in identifying the he as Jesus Christ or Antiochus Epiphanes, and I am convinced that Jesus Christ is the correct interpretation. You can go down through those things, and they're real and they're genuine. What's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to tell people that all power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility to go, therefore, and teach all nations that Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth. It's our responsibility to go forth and teach all nations, teach everyone, teach our churches to observe all things whatsoever He has given us to practice. That's our responsibility. Now, all of us have sought Jesus. We found Him as Savior. We need to find Him as friend. We need to find Him as Almighty God. We need to find Him as the Prince of Peace, as the Counselor, as a Comforter, as the Prince of Peace. We've discovered that. By the grace of God, I intend to continue putting that out on the internet. I think that's what I'm supposed to do. And I think that you are supposed to be equipped if anybody asks you about what this strange thing is we teach, that you be equipped and willing to talk to them about it. And I think you are. I think you are. So, I didn't want to preach a long time. And I apologize for always preaching prophecy. But this is so important that I'm just not going to drop it. I'm going to continue to warn. And anything that shows up that adds to this, not adds to it in the sense that it supersedes it or changes it, but agrees with it, I'm going to keep presenting that. So...